The quality of life that you live, the quality of your life is conceived, first of all, in my thoughts, in my mind. So you must learn to have a consciousness of that presence. It is composed by my choices. Because I know He is present in a place, when I walk in, there's a reverence I put in the place. It is confirmed by my words. So I begin to speak as if He is right in front of me. And it is constructed daily by my actions.
Hello, Saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
Please join hand with someone sitting next to you and let's pray together. So, Lord, we ask of you today that you will give unto us a greater understanding in your word as we search the scriptures. My cry, my prayer is that, Father, that you will speak to us. We give you all the glory and all the praise because in advance we know that, Lord, you would teach us. So I avail myself to you. The Lord, you would teach through me. Let me be a vessel, O God, to be a blessing to your people this morning. And I pray that before we leave this place, we would have not heard from a man, but we would have heard from you through that man. I give you thanks, even in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. All right, so we will continue with our series of lessons on excuse-free living. Excuse-free living. And today, I want to begin, as part of that series, another aspect, how God pushes us beyond our excuses. Raise your right hand, and if you will, please say this with me. My God, much better. My God, let's try it for the last time. My God will push me, will push you, will push us beyond our excuses. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a shout in the house. He will push us beyond our excuses. When we search the scriptures, we will find out that when God said to Moses, "Moses, I need you to go to Pharaoh, and when you get to Pharaoh, tell him, let my people go." We all know what Moses did. He said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" And God says, "Moses, I'm going to be with you. All right? I am not going to take your excuse for it, because I do believe that there is a potential, there is a calling on your life, and I will not allow the excuses to derail it." And so here we see that God is pushing Moses beyond it. God says to Gideon, "Gideon, I want you to go and deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites." And Gideon says, who are you talking to? He looks around and he realizes it's just him. And he says, "God, I am the least from the smallest clan in all of Israel. If there is someone you ought to choose, it can be me." And God says, "You are the mighty man of valor. Go forth in the strength you have." God Almighty is not going to give you a chance to chicken out. Did you understand? I just put it in modern language. He's not going to give you a chance to give up on yourself, because He created you and He knows what is on the inside of you. We find the same thing in the life of Jeremiah. God speaks to him, "I am sending you to the nations." Jeremiah says, "I don't know how to speak. I'm only a boy." God says to him, "Jeremiah, don't say that you are a boy. For this day I have made you a fortified city, and an iron wall and a bronze pillar." God says, "You are not ordinary. You think that you cannot speak and you are a little boy." But God is saying, "No, there is something on the inside of you." I pray today that at the end of this message, you will come to that understanding that God is not going to take your excuse for it. He is going to push you beyond your excuses. There are things we are not experiencing because we are always given excuses. Ananias in the New Testament is another guy. God speaks to him, go and pray over Saul of Tarsus. He says, just so you have forgotten, God, recently that guy has been killing us, Christians. And you're telling me to go lay my hands up. No. He's looking for us. We are hiding. And you want me to go show myself. There is no way I'm doing it. And God says, go, for he's a chosen vessel. I pray today that God will not give in to your excuse. The truth is, God doesn't need my prayer, but he will not give in. But as the Lord pushes you, may you step out in courage and begin to do what you ought to do. Amen. So we want to take our time to understand how God pushes us beyond our excuses. And I will use several characters in the Bible. Today, we will focus only on one of them, and we will focus on the man called Moses. All right? So like Moses, God pushes us beyond our excuses. And I'll take time to go through all the excuses Moses gave and how God pushed him. So first of all, we find out that God would push you and I beyond our excuses by assuring us of his presence. By assuring us of his presence. Please allow me. Today, I'll read from the old King James, all right? Sometimes there are things I need to push, and some of these new versions don't help me out. Are you in the book of Exodus chapter 3? God will push us by assuring us of his presence. In other words, when we are afraid, God will begin to show to you that don't be afraid because I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Are you in Exodus chapter 3? Please look there with me. In verse 11, Moses is speaking here. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this is God speaking. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. God says, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God is saying, Moses, don't be afraid. I know that you are afraid of Pharaoh. You killed in Egypt. You ran away. I'm sending you to go back. And chances are you might end up in jail and you think I would abandon you, but I will not abandon you. I will be with you. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to remind you, anytime you feel like giving an excuse, remind yourself that God always assures us of his presence. I said, God always assures us of his presence. But I want to push something a little bit because sometimes as believers, we are not able to appropriate the presence of God in our lives because we do not understand the dimensions of God's presence in our lives. Whenever you don't understand something, you cannot appropriate it. Can I put it another way? That you are not able to appropriate something that you do not understand. So I want to take a moment to begin to show you dimensions of the presence of God, because until you understand them, we will talk about God's presence. It will become just something we say, and we will never be able to tap into it. Amen. Now, there is what I call the omnipresence of God. Omnipresence means that God is everywhere. Right now, as we are sitting here, he is here. And God can be in another country, and he's everywhere. But the truth is that we can walk into places, and even though his presence is there, we may not be able to recognize it. Now, if you walk into a ball game, the Bible says God is everywhere, so he is there. Do you agree? He is omnipresent. But until you have what I call, secondly, a conscious presence means you develop a consciousness that God is where you are because you are his child. And if he says he is everywhere, you are. You must maintain that dimension of his presence. So not just the omnipresence, which is common to all, but you must learn to have what I call a conscious presence, becoming fully aware. I am aware that God is here. And because he is here, I will recognize it as such. Steadily, there is what I call a witness presence. Witness presence means you can witness that he is in a particular place. Have you ever walked in the midst of maybe a church meeting and you can tell, oh, look, this place looks dry. There's nothing happening. Has it ever occurred to you? But then in the same atmosphere, another person walks in there. He says, no, there is something taking place here. It is because some of us are not conscious of his presence. So we are not able to witness his presence when he's in the place. And that we must learn to understand these things, because until we understand them, we will not be able to. So God is always saying, don't give excuses. I am with you. But it is only real to those who fully understand when he's in a place. Are you with me? So we talked about his omnipresence. We talked about becoming conscious of his presence and the witnessing of his presence. But thirdly, fourthly, discerning presence. In other words, he's not just in a place, but he's there to do something. Like this morning, as Lady D led us to pray, and as we prayed, I sensed that the presence of God was here to restore marriages. He was not just here, but he's here to do something on purpose. Are you guys following me? Until you learn to have that conscious awareness, knowing that God is in a place, sometimes you can do anything at all you want. But if you know God is there, you find it difficult doing it. Are you with me? So it is important that we come to that. And then finally, there's what I call the manifested presence. This is the most important and the highest form, that he's not only in a place to do something, but something actually happens. Something actually what happens. Now, maybe you are saying, Pastor, I don't get it. Now, I'll help you. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 17 to 21, Luke chapter 5, from verse 17 to 21, and I'll read again from the King James Bible, all right? Luke chapter 5, are you there? Verse 17. Now, it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. It's not repeated in the Bible. I'm repeating it for the sake of something. The Bible says Jesus was at a place. The Pharisees, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? They were present. My own rendition. Now, they were there. People who were into politics. Instead of doing church and relating to God, everything is religion for them. The Bible says they were also present. And the power of God, there was the manifest presence. It was there. But let's find out who found it. Verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. In our word, it was paralysis. And they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, what is it that forced this man to begin to say, something is about to happen? Because they sensed that it was not just that he was there, but he was there to make something take place, happen. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, I'm still reading verse 20, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I agree with them. Who can forgive sins but The problem is they have not recognized that God was present. They knew that it was God alone which can make these things happen, but they failed to recognize his manifest. You see, you must start not just from the omnipresence. Everybody knows that. There has to be a consciousness, an awareness that wherever I am, God is there. And you move from consciousness to a place of witnessing, he is here. He's here to do something. And then you begin to, I can sense it. It's about to take place. And all of a sudden, it takes place. It takes place for those who are expecting it to take place. And God speaks to Moses. Moses, don't be afraid, because my manifested presence will be with you. When you stand in front of Pharaoh, things are going to take place that Pharaoh will not be able to withstand you. I want to remind you that don't be a far to see and a sad to see. Because you can be in the midst of the congregation and there are people who are receiving things happening in their lives and you might not see, because all you are wondering is, how in the world, how dare them say that? It's possible to spend your energy in things of that nature when others are receiving God's power manifesting in their life. It all depends on your consciousness of his presence. And I pray today that you come to that understanding. Let me make a statement. God cannot take us further in this plan until we know how to respond to him. Should I repeat that to you? God cannot take us further in his plan until we know how to respond. This is why it's so crucial that when you come to church and it's time for worship, it's not a bunch of songs, but it's your response to the Creator. It's your response to say, Lord, I've come and I recognize and I'm in awe of you. I am amazed at your presence and I am acknowledging your preeminence. I know you are Jehovah and there is no God but you. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, how many of you remember the boy Samuel? Remember the boy Samuel? The scripture says he heard the voice of God. He heard a certain voice. He did not know what that voice was. He goes to the priest Eli, and then he asks him, did you call me? It happened three times. And the scripture says on the third time, the priest recognized it is God who is calling the boy. So he tells him, whenever you hear the voice again, say, Master, speak, your servant. Why? Because Eli, even though he was an old man, and back in those days, the Bible says the word of the Lord was rare. You couldn't hear it. So for a little boy to begin to hear it, all of a sudden, he's reminding him, God cannot keep giving you further instructions until, Samuel, you respond to him. And sometimes God is speaking, but we do not know his voice. It begins with a conscious awareness that he's in a place. Amen. So God tells Moses, Moses, don't worry about Pharaoh. I will be with you. This is God speaking. He says, I will what? My presence will be there. And ladies and gentlemen, God's presence is everywhere. The problem is most people are not able to hang on to that. And today I have shown you, it begins with a conscious awareness of the fact that God is present in a place. Amen and amen. You remember the story of Jacob. The scripture says he wrestled and lived at the place all night. And then when he woke up in the morning, he says, I did not know that God was in this place. It is very easy to miss his presence in a place. And he is already there because of what we are looking for. If you are looking for him, you will find him. Are you here with me today? If you walk into a church building thinking that all of a sudden it will be a goosebumps that will let you have his presence, you're lying to yourself. There must be a consciousness in your mind that I am in the presence of God Almighty. I'm not here to watch somebody's show. I'm not here to watch who plays and who sings and who does that. I'm here to meet Jehovah God. Because when the presence of the Lord is in a place, it is there to do something on purpose. healings take place. The supernatural interfaces with the natural. All of a sudden, you find that the spirit begins to have an influence. It is like the wind you don't see with your eyes. But when it begins to break things, when it begins to shut things down, when it begins to push waters, you know that there is a force. I pray today. As you sit in your seat this morning, may you not come here to listen to a man. Be ready and say, I want this presence. Begin to have a consciousness of that presence because God can reach out to you. Else you can walk in here and then I'll teach all I want and you grab your Bible and go home and blame me. But the problem is you, because you sought not to maintain a consciousness of the God you came to meet. You must come to meet him. Don't be like the Pharisees who were in a place where the power of God was there to make things happen. And they were worried about their own religious ego. May your religious ego be gone. I said, may your religious ego be gone. God told Moses, Moses, don't be afraid. The only reason Moses was willing to put his excuse on the backside and say, God is with me, because he knows if he is there, he is there to cause the supernatural to take place in the natural. Are you understanding where we're going? So you and I can learn from Moses that our excuses can be laid back. God pushes us by reminding us of his presence. But his presence is not automatic. You must cultivate a consciousness of that presence. I say you must cultivate what? Let me say this. If you can capture it, write it down, that the quality of my life is conceived in my thoughts. It is composed by my choices, confirmed by my words, and constructed daily by my actions. Did you copy that? The quality of life that you live, the quality of your life is conceived, first of all, in my thoughts, in my mind. So you must learn to have a consciousness of that presence. It is composed by my choices. Because I know he is present in a place, when I walk in, there's a reverence I put in the place. It is confirmed by my words. So I begin to speak as if he is right in front of me. And it is constructed daily by my actions. The quality of your life does not happen like Abu and Adam. You slept, woke up, and it was there. That is daydreaming. It depends on the things you are doing on purpose. God told Moses, Moses, forget about the fact that you think you are not adequate. I will be with you. Anybody here who has been hired to work in a place and you feel inadequate, God says, I will be with you. When you walk into that work environment, maintain a consciousness of his presence around you. That even when you're about to make mistakes, God will step in and say, that's not the way to go. Is it possible God can correct you? Not that he won't, he will. But it happens when you maintain a consciousness of his presence in the place. When you begin to witness, I sense he's here. I'm about to have a meeting and the people might chew me up as supervisor, but God is present to turn the hearts of the people. And he will do it for you. Amen. Secondly, God will push us beyond our excuses like Moses by reminding us of his faithfulness. When Moses came up with his second excuse, go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Look there with me in verse 13. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say then unto them? Moses is telling God, God, you know, I don't know everything. I don't even know your real name. All I know is that we call you God. And God began to reveal his name to Moses. May God reveal his name to you. You see, it is not enough to pick up your Bible and walk around and say Jehovah Rapha. Because the person who said Jehovah Rapha saw healing. And after the healing, he called God Jehovah what? When he led them to battle and they fought and won, they call him Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, the one who leads us to battle. How would you call this God? And notice how God begins to reveal himself to Moses. He says, Mo, I am that I am. He said, Brother Mo, I am what I am. The actual Hebrew phraseology should be, I will be what I will be. In other words, if you are not sure of what is ahead of you, don't be afraid. Because whatever it is that faces you, I will become the opposite to that thing and shut it down for you. And he goes on to tell Moses, Moses, you need to shut your excuses down, because when it comes to the place where I need to be something that you haven't seen me being to you before, I will be that. And you know how sometimes we think that we have seen God in certain ways, but there are some ways we haven't seen him before. So we are not too sure. God says, don't be worried about that, because whatever it is that I need to be, I will be. And he confirms it by telling Moses something else in verse 15. Read with me, shall we? And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations, including you and me. He says, Moses, if you are not sure of what I will be, I just told you I will be what I must be to you. But just so you understand my credibility, I did that for Abraham. I did the same thing for Isaac. And I have done it for Jacob, your forefathers. And if I can do it for them, what makes you think you will be any different? I can do it for you. The first implication of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is that he says these are individuals who stood the test of time, who gave excuses. Abraham said, Isaac, I can't go. I must leave Gerar. God says, stay in the same place. And he's reminding the children of Israel, I am the God who made Isaac so prosperous that the people around him said, the guy is too rich. You didn't get that. Lord, may we maintain a consciousness that you are here today. What did God do for Abraham? Anybody can tell me? Remember, he was in the era of the Chaldeans. God chose him. God gave him a promise to make him the father of many nations. He repeated the same promise to Isaac, his son, repeated the same promise to the grandchild, Jacob, as well. God is telling Moses, Moses, when you go to these people and they claim they don't believe you, remind them that I am that God who will be whatever I want to be. If Pharaoh thinks he's all that, I'm going to show him he's nothing. Because when the king Abimelech stood against Abraham, I terrified him concerning Sarah. When Isaac was being chased around by the people, I made sure they couldn't touch him. When Jacob was running helter, I still blessed him. God says, Moses, you don't need to worry. You must have a revelation of who I am. I pray today that you and I will come to that understanding that you are dealing with I am that I am. I like it in the Hebrew. It says, I will be what I will be. What do you need God to be? Come on, try and answer the question. What do you need God to be that you think maybe he's not capable? He says, no, I've done it before. You are not a test case.
Thank you for listening to another kingdom-impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland, to interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.